It's Monday, July 28th, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
We're also here with TJ.
Splendid Vita.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. Packed show tonight. We're going to review Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Picks of the Week segment. Anthony's got some stuff. I got my SDC roundup. And then, of course, more thoughts on
Other things.
If you're wondering where Blavin is, again, this is for the second week in a row he's off preparing for his big Magic tournament in Portland. I believe he flies out this week and will actually be competing during next week's recording.
Yeah.
So wish him all the best if you can. Without further ado, let's go on to the big review. So Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, this is the sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes that came out a couple of years ago that starred James Franco. And this sequel takes place 10 years later. I don't think you actually need to see the first movie to understand what goes on here.
Yeah, there's some hints back to the first one, but
all you really need to know is that there's a virus that broke out that nearly wiped out all of humanity, and the ever increasingly intelligent apes were immune to it.
Because it was their virus.
Yeah, because it was their virus. Was it the simian flu they said it was?
Yeah, because like, they injected an ape that they were doing tests on, and then it created this virus, and the virus got out of quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to the opening credits of this movie when they showed that. I was kind of zoning out. But anyways, apes versus humans. That's basically what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony, go. What's your thoughts?
My initial thoughts are that I like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot different than the first one.
Yes.
But it was cool to see. There was a lot more focus on the apes than I thought it would be. I thought they'd be more focusing on the humans and their struggle.
The humans.
But it was a lot about the apes, how they've grown as a race and almost like as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And also with this new intelligence that they've got, that it comes more troubles. Like they have to deal with a lot of the things that they didn't like. While they're all unified now, because they can like intelligently communicate with each other, and like orangutans are hanging with gorillas and whatever, and chimpanzees are doing whatever. But like there's still like crazy politics in the monkey world. Like there's a lot of backstabbing. There's a lot of people who don't agree with each other, and they become more like humans than they know, and because they always think that humans are like these savages, but they kind of become human almost,
right.
And that was a really cool thing, and like using the monkeys as like a metaphor for humanity, pretty much.
Yeah,
was like something I did not expect from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was one part like where you said where like there are some like fighting parts where one of the chimps, I forget his name, rides akimbo on a horse.
Oh, Koga.
Koga rides
Koba.
Koba. Koba. He rides akimbo with two machine guns on a horse jumping through fire.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. That did not need to be in this movie.
But it was there. And isn't there a time where like he just ditches the horse so that he can hop on the tank?
Yeah, and so he hops on a tank and he's like, now I'm in a tank. And I'm like, whoa, all these like crazy like metaphors that they're bringing, they just threw that all that seriousness out the window in this one scene. Like, yeah, and there are parts like that where they can't decide what they want this movie to be. If they want it to be like this deep thought process, or if they want it to just be monkeys with guns.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I think that's what's holding it back. If they could have decided on one or another, I think this movie would have been way better.
Mm-hmm.
But like overall it's still good. But there was that weird divide between what they wanted out of this movie, and it kinda took me out.
Yeah.
Like I was during that scene I was just laughing.
Yeah.
Like it was so ridiculous.
I was in shock.
Like, he already had the one, and I was like, okay, a monkey with a gun. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the other one. He's like, I got two. And they weren't small guns either. They were, like, heavy machine guns, like, with ammo barrels and everything.
Well, yeah, those apes are strong.
Yeah, it was kind of nuts. Uh-huh. But, yeah, overall, I thought the movie was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they really needed to decide on which direction they wanted this to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
What about you?
I like this movie. In comparison to the first film, I really like the first film because it was very... It was more about the relationship between a human and a monkey.
Mm.
Or James Franco and the main... Who was the leader of the apes? What was his name?
Caesar,
yes. Between James Franco and Caesar. And I found that very touching. And I thought it was really cool how they introduced how this planet was going to become the Planet of the Apes in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is a better film, though.
Like,
okay. I was just more interested in the prequel. But, yeah, this is... It is weird. It's like a... It is a... Like, everything you said is correct. It's a metaphor for human... I guess human relationships or human struggles and how they're being brought out with the monkeys. But at the same time, it's a super huge, dumb summer blockbuster action flick.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a bad thing necessarily, because at least it made me think. There were some parts of the plot that I thought were really simple and very contrived. Like, certain characters were inserted just to mess things up.
Yeah.
And they continuously brought them back into play. With no justifiable cause. Like, there's that one guy on the human side.
Well, they said that he was one of the only ones who knew how to use the... Like, so they tried to justify it at the beginning, because they're like, oh, but we need him because he's an expert in, like, electricity and running the dam and stuff. But then they ditch him.
And they do
it... And they do it all themselves anyways.
Yeah, so... the one monkey who turned... Like, slight spoilers, there's a monkey that goes bad.
Yeah, Koba.
Koba goes bad, right? And it's a very simple plot, like a very simple character downfall thing.
Yeah.
But I think, like, when I saw it happen on the screen, I was a bit upset that it was so simple and so obvious. But then I guess, you know what? If these monkeys are supposed to be, like, a metaphor for the beginnings of humankind and our early mistakes, then I guess that makes sense.
It was kind of a Judas thing.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, these monkeys are learning that stuff. And I guess if that's the case... I can't really criticize it for having such a simple, devised plot.
Twist,
quote. Because that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And when I thought about that, I'm like, okay, that's really cool. That's fine. My only real critique is I didn't care for the human side of this movie at all.
Yeah, and also, like, it doesn't help that they didn't spend as much time as they did with the monkeys. Like, you end up caring more for the monkeys than you do. The human.
I found Gary Oldman was a waste.
That's just star power.
I mean, like, yeah, like, he's in this movie, but, like, they wasted his role. Like, anybody could have filled his role.
Yeah, I think they just had him so they could put Gary Oldman, like,
on the poster.
Yeah, on the poster.
Yeah, I think you're, because, yeah, the main cast is, like, a whole bunch of
no names.
Yeah, or at least I don't recognize them. Yeah. But other than that, Andy Serkis is a great motion capture artist.
Andy Serkis is the best actor in that whole film.
He knows how to speak monkey pretty well.
He knows how to act like a monkey. He knows how to be a monkey. He embodied a monkey.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it.
And it makes me sad that we wasted his talent in Heavenly Sword video games.
Probably. It's okay. But yeah, no, it was, I really enjoyed it. I like it. It's a complete recommendation. TJ, did you have any thoughts on Dawn of the Planet of the Apes? Do you have anything you want
to add? Not really.
Okay. Did you like it?
Surprisingly, yes.
Did you like the first one?
Not really.
Okay, yeah. The general consensus is a lot of people are liking this movie
mm-hmm.
a lot more than the first movie. So, okay. Do you guys want to rate it?
This is like a one where I wish we had like halves.
That's too bad, because you implemented the no half rule.
Yeah, I did.
you were pushing for that.
I looked against you this
four.
Time.
I'll give it a four. You'll give it a four. It was good. It was a solid movie.
TJ, do you have a score you want to give it?
I was going to say four as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go four. Four's all around. I think that's the appropriate score. Because I officially sanctioned it. So.
It doesn't matter what your scores are. As long as
you realize what my score is, that's all that matters. There you go, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Go check it out. It's a great summer film. Yeah. And these summer movie reviews will continue. So, picks of the week, Anthony, I know you have a couple here that you want to highlight, so tell me about them.
Mine are two videos. So, the first one is called The Agony and Ecstasy of Final Fantasy.
Oh, this sounds like it could either be the greatest Worst thing in the
world. It's an analysis of the Final Fantasy franchise.
Oh, it's a serious
thing. Yeah, it's a serious thing.
Okay.
And, like, it's just, it's, so Jeremy Parrish of X1UP fame, and now he does, he's on usgamer.net. He did a video.
US Gamer?
Or US Gamer. I think of, like, I always think of it as, like, Us Weekly. Like, it's like, oh, Cliff Bleszinski, he's dating someone new. And like
US Weekly?
Yeah. I thought it'd be, I always say Us Weekly for some reason.
Okay.
Or, yeah. So, whatever. I always think it's going to be like celebrity tabloids, but for video games.
Okay.
But it's not. So he brought out a video, just pretty much questioning, like, why was Final Fantasy so popular in the past? Why does the name not carry as much weight as it does now? And like, what is the quote unquote problem with Final Fantasy?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting video, like where he thinks like they can go right, and where they have gone wrong in the past, and okay. Like I've learned like there's like crazy stuff, like they spent for Final Fantasy 13, they spent like 70% to 80% of the budget based on visuals alone, and like nothing on gameplay, and like stuff like that, or more like design aspects, and I thought like that kind of like inside stuff was really interesting, and he quotes a lot of interviews with. That he's done with actual, like, the actual heads of the projects and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's an interesting video. And then the other one is a video series on Vimeo. It's called Every Frame a Painting by Tony Zhou. He's an editor, a movie editor or a film editor. And he does these really deep breakdowns of movies or just movie styles. So, like, he has one on visual comedy.
Yeah,
and how to like properly do visual comedy. I learned about this guy from Kotaku because they had one about he broke down this animation style of the guy who did Tokyo Godfathers and like other movies like Paprika. They're like really kind of like mind bending movies.
Yeah,
and like he really liked his use of filmography, I guess. And they're really cool. Like he has one about Bayham, and he breaks down like how Michael Bay. Makes his film.
Oh yeah, I watched that. Yeah. I really like that one.
Yeah, and what makes Bayham Bayham? And I realized it's lampposts. Like, if you apparently, yeah, like I didn't notice it until this video. But if you look at any action scene he has, like, he always uses lampposts for scale.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nuts, like how often he does it and how I never noticed it.
I think my favorite part of that video is how he doesn't. He's his own worst enemy. He does not know how to film a toned down scene. Everything always has to be...
Yeah, everything... Like, they did the turnaround scene from Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Like, that's supposed to be, like, a serious thing, right? Yeah. But it's, like, this badass... like, there might as well have been an explosion in that scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really interesting videos. Like, there's
only... Yeah, no, he does some good stuff.
Yeah. There's only about, like, 6 or 9 of them. I recommend watching them in order, because sometimes he does reference past videos.
Yeah, and he only gets better.
Yeah, and he only gets better as they go on, so... They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, those are my picks.
Cool. This week was San Diego Comic-Con, so you can expect a lot of news out of that. At the same time, it's also Japan's biggest toy show, Wonderfest Summer. So I'm going to cover I'm going to try and blast through a whole lot of stuff. First, I'll start with the Comic-Con stuff, and I'll start with movies and television announcements that I found interesting, because that's where I'm going to go. So first things first, I think...
Whoa, wait a minute. First off, when did you get an iPad?
A while back.
Okay. I was like, you just pulled out an iPad! And I was like, whoa, what the hell?
Okay. So now that's...
That's out of the way, I'm done. I just was amazed that you're just like, oh yeah, I just pulled out my iPad, whatever.
Yeah, that's how I did it, right?
I was like, what the hell?
My magnet cover?
Ugh.
Anyways, so first things first, I'm going to say I only picked out things that interested me, not necessarily the interests of the group.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. Number one, the cast of Firefly is returning to their roles in the new Serenity game.
Oh, okay.
And apparently they've already recorded all their lines, and that's cool. I can't remember if this is going to be an MMO or if this is going to be like a game. But it's nice to have that official authenticity of the cast.
If it's an MMO, there's like 100% chance I won't play that game.
You won't play that game? Yeah, I probably won't either. I'll probably buy it.
At it.
Yeah. Like if there's a physical collector's edition, I'll buy it. But then I won't play it.
Comes with a leather jacket.
Oh, there you go. Okay. On to TV. Arrow Season 3 trailer hit. Oh my god, Arrow Season 3 looks amazing.
I know nothing about Arrow.
They showed off all the new characters that are coming. They're coming up with Roy is officially a superhero now. He's Arsenal.
Fire Emblem?
No. I'm talking about Speedy.
Okay.
You know, Green Arrow's sidekick? His name's Arsenal.
Oh, okay.
There you go. They showed off Brandon Routh that you might know as Superman. He is coming in as the Atom. They showed off Felicity, basically Arrow's sort of Oracle. His sort of Batgirl is okay. Dead in the trailer. They showed off a lot of cool things, and I am so hyped for this movie. I'm going to rewatch all of Arrow.
Wow.
And so hashtag rewatch Arrow. And if you haven't seen Arrow, watch Arrow. There you go. Up next, at the Marvel panel, they announced a couple cool things. First of all, Guardians of the Galaxy is not out yet.
Still?
No, but the sequel has been announced. So there's going to be a second Guardians of the Galaxy. Apparently, I've only read great things about the upcoming movie, so I guess it was just a given that this is going to get a sequel.
Okay.
So there you go. At the Avengers panel, at the Marvel panel, all the Avengers all the actors who play the Avengers were there, and they announced Thanos and who it's going to be. Ooh. Josh Brolin.
So it's not just going to be some CG thing?
No, some dude.
Wow.
And if you look up Josh Brolin, the bottom half of his face, like his jaw area, looks a lot like Thanos.
Yeah.
So.
On that picture you showed me, on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's got a very pronounced jawline.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I would have never picked him, but damn, those Marvel guys, they know how to cast their characters. And then over on the DC side of things, The Rock has been tweeting for a while now that he's wanted to get in on one of these superhero films.
Of course he does.
For a long time, we thought it was going to be Green Lantern, Jon Stewart. That's not the case. Lately, he's been tweeting pictures about saying how he's got the power to go toe-to-toe with Superman.
What could it be?
Take a wild guess.
Bizarro Superman.
No. No.
Lex Luthor.
No.
Captain Marvel.
Sentinel.
If you're thinking who I think you're thinking of, then yes.
Sentry.
The Magic Dude.
Shazam.
The Rock Shazam. Is
that Shazam?
Yes.
I thought that was just the thing he said to
turn into. No, he is Shazam.
He's both. When you said Captain Marvel, I didn't know if you were referencing DC's Captain Marvel.
I was.
Okay. Because, quick tangent, there's a Marvel Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Who was a girl.
Yeah, okay.
Not her.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Yeah, Captain Marvel.
So the thing is with Shazam is that he's a kid.
Uh-huh.
And when he says Shazam, he turns into a human.
Uh-huh.
Or like an adult. Who's the kid?
Who knows? A lot of people are thinking, you know what? The Rock would actually be perfect for Black Adam.
Oh, yeah, no, that... Oh, that'd be sick.
But someone pointed out that The Rock, even though he's like this big tough guy, he has that like goofy side to him that could really work as a child in a man's body. Like, does he not?
That's true.
He plays the serious guy very well.
But he can also play like a dumb idiot very well.
Yeah. I think either would be good.
I think either if he's Shazam or if he's Black Adam, perfect role either way.
Yeah.
What if
it's both?
I don't know.
It could just be Hercules. I don't
know. He is Hercules.
Hercules.
Oh, Marvel Hercules? He's already regular Hercules. He might as well be.
Yeah. So, yeah. So there you go. That's who The Rock is saying. He's been tweeting pictures of Shazam fighting Black Adam and Superman.
Did you see a side note? Did you see that one picture of him playing patty cake on the set of Hercules?
Yep.
That girl was as big as his like thigh. Like he is a huge dude.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yep. He's not very small. Let me tell you. Okay. On to the other thing. Batman versus Superman. There was a teaser that leaked. I don't know if you guys were able to see it.
Nope.
Basically, do you remember The Dark Knight Returns, the animated film we watched?
Yes.
You remember how... So we know that the bat suit is going to be based off of that.
Okay.
But do you remember at the end of that animated film, he wears an armored version of it?
He's all like... It's kind of like Hulkbuster, I guess?
So the teaser has him wearing that.
Okay.
And he goes to his own bat signal, and he turns it on. He turns on his own bat signal. And the signal goes up into the stormy night sky, and you see it, and then when lightning hits, the signal turns into Superman.
Huh.
Like Superman is there.
Weird.
And it just looks like they're going to go for a showdown.
Doesn't Batman beat Superman?
Batman always beats Superman.
Yeah. Too smart.
Yeah. Because he's an asshole like that. but I guess the biggest thing is they finally revealed the Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot. I don't know if you guys saw. Gal
Gadot. Like her in her
Gal costume? Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Ooh. Huh.
A lot of people are saying she kind of looks like Wonder Woman mixed with Xena Warrior Princess.
I'm getting a very Xena vibe.
I think it's just the colors.
Yeah. If they were more bright, like they weren't just brown.
So there's been a lot of Photoshops out there of there in color and they look perfect.
Okay.
But I think it might just be this first image is, as you can tell, it's all like sepia tone.
Yeah.
So the final costume might be in color. I didn't have faith in Gal Gadot. Like, I thought, fine, she has probably the right skin tone, the right facial features, but I thought she was too little.
Okay.
I think she looks perfect.
Well, now she does.
Yeah. So I think I'm excited for to see her as Wonder Woman.
There's no gold on her.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely this poster or this image. Like, she's very bronzed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
where the whole Xena thing comes in.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like if you want, check it out. Look for Photoshops of it with people added some color to it. It looks fantastic.
Who's the girl? Oh, sorry. No. That was a side note.
Oh, okay.
Finish your thing and then I'll.
No, because like a lot of the actual a lot of the Wonder Woman details are there.
It's gone.
Like, oh, is it? Okay. Like she has like the eagle on the top of her bustier.
Okay.
Yeah. She has the whip. She has the sword. She's just missing the shield. She has the tiara. She has the bracelets. Yeah. Like, she has everything. They're just all one color.
Yeah.
That's the only problem. But there you go.
Yeah. I was going to say, who was the lady that did Xena?
Lucy Lawless?
Lucy Lawless.
Her. Yeah.
Is she still too old? Like, is she too old? Could she be Wonder Woman?
She's, like, in her 50s.
She's old looking.
She's... Remember Kevin Sorbo?
Oh, yeah.
They're, like, the same age.
Okay, yeah.
Or same area. I wouldn't.
All right.
There's maybe like a couple year gap, but
okay.
They're not exactly young anymore.
All right,
we're looking for some 20-year-olds. All right, we're looking for that hot young.
I'm a 20-year-old. I can play her.
Okay. Now, since we're still on the topic of Batman, I'm gonna move over to San Diego Comic-Con and talk about all the Batman news that arrived. Because if there's one thing I saw at Comic-Con, it was everybody is doing a Batman toy. And not just one. Everybody has the license to do every fucking Batman under the sun.
Oh, interesting.
So.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I'll get to that one. Unless you want me to open with that one.
I thought you were going to open with that one.
I'll open with that one. So PlayArt's Kai, we have known for a while, have the license to do Batman toys. They've been doing the Arkham Asylum figures. They've been doing classic Batman. They've been doing Dark Knight Returns Batman. At Comic-Con, they revealed 5 new Batmans, okay?
Okay.
The first 4 are part of their new Variant Timelines Batman, where it's Batman through the ages. And I mean different ages. Like, there's a Medieval Knight Batman, there's a Samurai Shogun Batman, there's a Steampunk Batman, and there's one more. But the one that took everybody by surprise is the Tetsuya Nomura Batman. And for context, he's a character designer for Final Fantasy, most notably for doing 7,
mm-hmm.
right? And his Batman is this Batman. And it looks... I don't even know what to say about this Batman.
He's like part Nargacuga from Monster Hunter.
He's got giant bat ears.
So, yeah, and first of all, he doesn't have a cape. He just has bat wings.
Oh, yeah.
That's and they have hands on them.
Yeah.
Like where the bat's hands would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... He's more like Man-Bat.
Instead of Batman.
True.
There's a severe lack of zippers, I noticed.
You know, but there's enough layered material. Yeah. I just don't know how I feel about this.
I think that looks cool.
Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would.
I think that looks super cool.
I think it looks like the dumbest thing.
That's why it looks super cool, because it's super dumb.
Okay, wait, so you like it ironically.
It's super stupid, but it looks awesome.
Fine, I'll give you that. If you like it ironically, you like it ironically.
Like, if this was in a Batman movie, I'd be like, I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
It looks like he should be in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah!
Okay, I get that. Fine. You know what? DLC boss. Here we go. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. But you know what, Square Enix? Just do whatever you're doing. No one's going to buy your toys, but whatever. Do whatever you want. I don't even care anymore.
Happy birthday.
So yeah, they did that Batman, but the Batman that I going to the show that I was most excited for was the classic DC animated Batman. It's going to be 6-inch scale, and it looks like this.
A little something.
I like that one.
And this is probably my childhood Batman.
Look at his legs.
Now, his face. It's just a rectangle.
It looks exactly like the cartoon.
Yeah, yes. I know.
It looks awesome. Amazing. Mattel have really worked hard on this as part of their new collector series, and they're making it seem like it's going to be super poseable. But I just want it because it looks neat. On top of this, they also showed off Catwoman.
Oh, okay.
They showed, I think, 3 waves of figures. They
see have Harley Quinn in the back.
Catwoman. Okay. The Harley Quinn is the one I want second most.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's more, like the Joker, Poison Ivy.
Robin.
Man-Bat, Robin. They also showed prototypes for Batgirl. They have prototypes for...
The Penguin?
Wait, there's actually someone called Man-Bat?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the one that looks like a Man-Bat.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just making a joke, but apparently that's a person.
Yeah, and in the back you can see there's the Penguin, the Riddler, Batgirl.
Oh, that's what that is.
They're going to have Nightwing, Two-Face.
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy?
Yeah. Poison Ivy looks like has a huge head. My only problem with these toys is, I don't know why how they built them, but look where they attach the pin disc joints. They're
like super visible?
They drilled them right through the center of the thigh, right? That's weird.
Maybe that's like a prototype thing.
No, that's the final.
Oh, man.
So, a lot of people are like, what is that supposed to be? But, whatever. The figures look cool. So...
Get some silly putty and just, like,
put it in. Yeah. Lego also has a license to Batman. They're doing their Ultimate Collector Series Tumblr Batmobile. And I want this one.
How many pieces is that?
So, you're looking at, I think just under 4,000 pieces. It's going to retail for $200 American in these states. Comes with 2 minifigures. And these are the only way to get minifigures of Joker and Batman that look like the movie.
Because I was going to say, I want that Batman.
Yeah, this is the only Batman that looks like the Batman from the movie.
So you have to buy a $200 tumbler.
Welcome to Lego.
I'm down. Wow.
I'm down.
Welcome to Lego.
Lego's so expensive.
Yeah. Lego abuses their minifigure market. Like, they know people want certain characters as minifigures, so they only shove them in either with the most expensive sets or exclusive sets.
Wow.
Yeah. They're jackasses like that. It's bad enough that Lego is super expensive.
That is so smart.
As it is.
Assholes.
But if I ran the business, I would do the same thing.
You'd probably be worse.
I would be worse.
It'd be a blind pack. You wouldn't know which one you...
Yes.
$200 blind pack.
Yeah, $200 blind pack, pretty much.
You are correct. Okay.
You have a chance of getting either one.
But the thing that I think, really for me, the Batman that stole the show, like, I thought that the animated Batman would be the Batman I wanted. But Mezco, have you guys ever heard of Mezco?
You just made that up?
I think I did, because honestly, I've never heard of Mezco. I think they make, like, some shitty figurine toys in some market. I don't know. Anyways, they have introduced a new Batman toy line they're calling the One Collective 12.
The One Collective 12. Oh,
it's very Japanese of them. Is Square Enix a part of this company?
You know, that's a good question.
Are there 12 figures?
No, a lot of people thought it meant that that's the scale they're going for.
1/12?
Yeah, 1/12 scale. Makes sense, right? No, they're doing 6-inch.
Oh, okay.
Oh, 1/12. Yeah, that's correct, yeah. See, everybody thought they meant 12-inch tall.
Oh, okay.
Which is 1/6 scale. But you're right, 1/12 would make sense, yeah. So they're going for 6-inch scale figures. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show you what they're bringing out. And it is, by far, the best Batman of the show. This is the Mezco Batman based off of the old man Dark Knight.
I was going to say,
Returns.
He looks old.
But...
Is that a statue?
No. No, this is a toy. So he's built like a 1/6 scale figure, like those expensive, like really... Highly molded with all cloth materials, but he's done in 6-inch size, and he looks phenomenal.
I see they've adopted the wire cape.
Yes.
He looks like he's actually wearing cloth.
Yeah, because he is.
Oh, he is?
He is.
Wow. Man, that looks nice.
Yeah.
I like his face, too.
I like old, gritty, I don't care Batman.
He's the best, and he's going to come with the rifle.
Like, what was that movie we watched where he was really old?
The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Utility belt.
He just straight up, like, disabled people.
Yeah, I like his, like, really, like, gritty jaw. Like, he's just like, whatever. done.
I'm too old for this.
Oh, fuck the Batmobile. I have a tank.
I didn't kill them, but I paralyzed them.
Yeah, and I think the thing that they've also hinted at is they're going to do that Robin that was in that same movie. That girl Robin?
Oh, her.
Is there a sequel to that movie yet?
We watched both of them.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he fights Superman.
I don't remember at all.
Oh, yeah.
And he fakes his death.
Oh, wait, they fight in the sewer system. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
Okay.
Is there more of that? I want more of that. I want gritty Batman paralyzing people.
No, because after that, they rebooted Batman to the Batman we know today. Into year one. But there you go. So the Mezco Batman is the Batman to keep an eye out for. I'm definitely going to pick this one up of all the Batmans I've seen. Not that Final Fantasy one, though.
Yo, that one's hot.
I know. Just shut your mouth.
I'm glad you did the Final Fantasy one first.
Yeah.
Because
if I ended off with that one, you would have been like...
Yeah.
Yo, Square Enix is spitting hot fire with that one.
I should have also gotten the pictures for the steampunk and the, like, Armored Knight Batman.
Whatever, can't top that Player of Sky one.
Steampunk, you know what? Batman. No.
It's so good.
No. Earlier on, I did mention 1/6 scale figures, 12-inch toys. Takara Tomy has announced a couple accessories they're going to do for 1/6 scale figures. I'm just going to show you the picture, and you tell me what these are.
Okay?
Are we still doing the
comics? Is it a quiz? Like, are we being graded?
No, I'm going to show you the picture,
okay,
and you're going to describe what you see for these 1/6 scale figures.
Okay.
These are accessory packs, okay? Ready?
Oh, they're accessory packs.
What?
I see a PlayStation 2, a memory card.
Oh, that is a PS2.
A multi-tap and a controller. And
there's a PS3.
I guess the square is for scale?
The second gen PS3.
Yeah, there's a second gen PS3.
I don't know what those square things are.
A third gen PS3.
The controllers.
A slim PS2.
With a controller and memory card.
Yeah. What?
So, Takara Tomy, out of nowhere, have decided we're going to team up with Sony, make some 1/6 scale PlayStation accessories.
All right, they're accessories.
So your toys can play PlayStation? Oh my god!
Yes.
PlayStation wins the console wars.
I don't know. Do the controllers plug in to the actual
Yes,
things?
They do.
Wow.
So these were actually revealed over at Wonderfest over in Japan.
That's cool.
Because, hey... Why not?
That's a very Japanese thing to announce.
Yeah. But these were only the tip of the iceberg for their real announcement. Because what Takara Tomy really announced was this bad boy right here.
PS1.
The PS1. But... He transforms into... Takara Tomy have announced PlayStation Prime to go with Mega Drive Megatron.
Oh my gosh.
I want those so bad.
Yes.
I want those so bad.
I think the Prime looks way better than the Megatron so far.
I want those so bad.
They still look pretty cool, though.
But if you look, like, Prime's arms are the PlayStation controller split in half.
Yeah.
So... The thing is, these are going to be expensive. The Mega Drive Megatron, I've already seen. He's going to be close to $100, and he's only like 6 inches tall. Like, these aren't very big. But,
I want those so bad.
As just a novelty item, they're really cool. Like, as someone who loves Transformers and video games, these are really cool.
Oh my god!
So, yeah, that was at Wonderfest. They announced some really cool things there. And, that was neat.
Did not see that coming.
Yep. And then going back, let's see, since I'm on the topic of Optimus Prime and 1/6 scale, you guys know Hot Toys?
I know of them.
Hot Toys is like the premier 1/6 scale toy company.
Okay.
They do all the big licenses, you know, they do all the Iron Man armors, they do all the Avengers. Doing Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
This is a non-transforming Optimus Prime. Now you tell me what you see with this Optimus Prime.
He's a PlayStation?
He's got wings.
So he's G1 Optimus Prime.
And he's like all metal.
He is all metal. Or at least he looks like it.
He looks like metal.
Yeah.
And guns on
and
his
he looks
arm.
Like a statue.
Does he turn it? No, he doesn't transform.
He's fully poseable. He doesn't transform.
He's standing on rocks.
Yeah.
He looks really beaten.
So does he look a little murderous to you? Does he look a little bit...
He's got... He only has whites in his eyes.
Yeah. So I remember G1 Optimus Prime being, you know, this friendly being. But ever since the movies have happened, Optimus is this psychopath.
Because, bam.
And Hot Toys has decided, we're going to take that psychopath and make a toy out of this. Now, the real kicker is, why is he wearing wings, is what you're probably wondering.
Yes.
Okay, in the original, there's an original G1 episode where Optimus Prime, not Optimus, sorry, the Decepticons, specifically Starscream, wants to infiltrate the Autobots. So he dresses up as Optimus Prime, but his wings can't fit in the costume.
Okay.
So that's why he has that. And that's what this toy is referencing.
Oh, okay.
However, Hot Toys spun it on its head, and the description is Optimus Prime killed Starscream and is wearing his armor as extra packs. And if you order the exclusive one, you get the decapitated head of Starscream.
Oh my gosh. That's cool.
So,
I guess.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm probably not going to buy it. It's going to be like $400. And Transformer that doesn't transform is kind of useless to me.
Is it all metal?
They haven't announced that.
Oh. Okay.
I suspect it is, but usually whenever Hot Toys says something is does something metal, they kind of advertise it right at the front.
Uh-huh.
Like with big letters that say diecast.
Hmm.
Yes. And then continuing on with Transformers news, the theme for next year's Transformers are Combiner Wars. So all their toys they're going to release at retail are going to be specific combiners. So they're releasing the Stunticons, who are basically four race cars and a giant truck to make Menasor.
Combiner.
Menasor.
Menasor, yeah.
Menasor.
I like that name.
Should be a dinosaur.
He's like a menacer.
Yeah. This is the Decepticon one. And then for the Autobots side, they're doing Superion. Basically, he's five jets.
Oh, I can see it now.
Yeah. So that's the theme for next year's Transformers. They're all combiner pieces. I think it's really cool. Hasbro has said in the past before that they can't do it because of limitations of budget and such. But now that they're really hinging more on collectors, they're going to try and do stuff that appeal to the collector scene. The only combiner I want is Devastator, the green construction vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only combiner I care about, so I'm probably going to skip these two, but they look cool nonetheless. And then going back to DC for a second, they had a surprise announcement that really, really took everybody by storm. So over the past year, Arrow has gotten a couple limited action figures. I believe you can get Arrow and you can get Deathstroke from the CW TV show. But they announced a box set. And the box set comes with everything you see in this picture.
What?
Deathstroke.
It even comes with the Flash?
Yeah, so you get the Flash. You get
Merlin.
You get Black Canary, Deathstroke, Green Arrow,
naked
Green Arrow, which is kind of the one you really want.
He's got a tattoo, too.
Yeah, he's got the tattoo. You get the box with his bow in it. You get the table and some stuff.
I like the case.
He doesn't use, like, a compound bow? He just has, like, a regular-ass bow?
He does, but his beginning bow is a regular
bow. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then Felicity gets him a better bow.
Okay.
But yeah, he gets this whole diorama set of his like little compound station.
Does it come in something special?
They haven't shown, but it's just going to be a giant box set. I think the only thing that's missing from this is his pull-up bar setup.
Oh.
I think that's the only thing he's missing.
Oh, it's all where he like jumps
yeah.
on one? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if they did that, I think...
It'd be best toys.
Yeah, best toy ever. Like, cannot be topped.
Oh, man.
Yes. And then over on to the Wonderfest side of things, more Japanese things. SH Figure Arts Mario was a big hit this year. They've also, of course, announced Luigi. He's coming.
Does it come with a murder face?
So that's the thing. No one really knows if he's going to come with the death stare. I don't think he will, but you never know. He's going to come with a piranha plant. And, like I told you guys before off-air, the red warp shell.
Yeah, that thing.
And this
yeah.
little, I don't know what the thing's called.
They're in the caves, though. I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're usually just crawling around.
He's also going to come with a red Koopa shell. Over on to more Bandai stuff. Now, Bandai have been doing SH Figure Arts of Dragon Ball Z characters for a while. And can you guys tell me some popular Dragon Ball Z characters?
Goku.
Tien. Chiaotzu.
Trunks, get out of here. Go away. Go away. you know what? I would buy Wolf Fang Fist.
Wolf Fang Fist!
Okay, I'm gonna say legendary.
Brawly.
Brawly is the next figure art they're doing.
Holy crap.
It's no Tien, but whatever.
I think this toy looks hilariously stupid because Brawly looks hilariously stupid.
He's a hilariously stupid character. Like,
I like him before he turns into Legendary Super Saiyan, where he actually has the correct proportions a human should.
So is Legendary Super Saiyan beyond Super Saiyan?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then Super Saiyan God is beyond Legendary Super Saiyan?
Uh-huh. I assume so.
Okay, all right.
There you go. Man. But, I mean, I don't know why fans love Brawly so much. I think he's just so stupid.
It's just because he's OP.
But yeah. He turned into such a joke character by the end of the series. Like, yeah. Like,
or by the end of the movies.
Yeah, the people just like, it's so sad.
He's a prince, right?
I think so.
Is that what it was?
Or something? I
forget.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Anyways, that's something people are excited for. I'll show you the one that I'm excited for.
Probably. To be honest, I've never watched the Brawly movie.
Me neither.
Okay. So you guys know I love Trunks.
No, you don't.
I love Trunks.
Future Trunks.
Future Trunks from Dragon Ball Z. There's only one character I love more than Trunks.
Vegeta?
Who?
Not
Vegeta. Vegito?
Who?
Vegito?
Man, you guys know me so well. That's right.
Oh, boom!
Mr. Cocky, I will not use my fists. I will only kick you. Yes. He is the next one. Now, I have been able to stay away from this entire line.
Damn,
so far.
That line looks awesome.
But,
I'm just looking at the backgrounds.
Yeah.
I can see Vegeta's legs.
Yeah. So, I think I might have to get the Vegito. I've always told myself if there's only one Dragon Ball character I could get, it would just be Goku.
Yeah. But now.
And regular Goku is out, and I've just kind of been hemming and hawing at it. But that's because I didn't think they'd ever do Vegito.
Dang.
And now he's here.
That's sick.
And he looks cool.
Like his hair.
Yeah. I'm still disappointed we don't see Kid Goku with Nimbus and Power Pole.
I just want to see...
Oh, that's not a thing?
No.
Dang.
Oh, from Dragon
awesome.
Ball?
Yeah, that's like my dream figure right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's same.
That would be awesome.
Like that and Bulma with the Capsule Corp stuff? Like, that would be the dream right there.
Do you want a, like an effect where she lifts up her skirt and there's like a light effect that blocks out her crotch?
No.
I don't think that works on toys.
I do want
it's built in, like you can't remove it.
What I want is a car with a Kamehameha going through it and Goku just destroying it. That's all I want.
I like a father-son Kamehameha setup.
No.
That'd be cool.
No. But yeah, so Vegito is the next SH figure art. Everybody's super excited. I'm super excited. It looks great.
The thing about Dragon Ball Z that always got me was like, with the combination earrings and with the fact that you can go different levels of Super Saiyan,
mm-hmm.
there's like infinite combinations of power levels.
Yes.
And it always left people to be like, oh, what if like Piccolo combined with Krillin and then they went Super Saiyan 4? But what happened?
You just make it sound so dumb.
Because it is.
So dumb.
It's so stupid.
That could never be a thing.
Let's go into the hyperbaric time chamber.
Yes. Yes. Next up, I forgot to mention this in my Batman news, so I'm going to go back to it. Nendoroid Batman is on the way.
That just looks silly.
What is that?
He's like, he's supposed to be menacing, but he's just so adorable.
And... does that not look like the greatest Batman you've ever seen?
The head is no play arts. The size of his body.
I don't know. I could just imagine him being like, I'm Batman!
But no, he has like a kid's voice. He's like, I'm Batman!
Yeah. So I think that looks great. One of my love to hate to love companies, Sentinel, who do the Riobot line and stuff, were at Wonderfest, and they showed off some interesting things. The one thing they showed off, first of all, to go with my Riobot... Jahuti, they showed off Riobot Anubis.
Ooh.
He looks expensive.
He does.
He looks really expensive.
Oh, jeez.
I'll tell you right now, the Jahuti I had retails for $140.
Oh, my gosh.
Anubis is twice in mass,
I wonder how they're going to do the options.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because on the Rebel Tech, there's that stand.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it here and be able to support the weight. Unless he's permanently on a stand.
Is there, like, there's not a back shot of this,
right? No, they didn't let you take a back shot.
Damn.
So, there's that. They showed off that they got the Iron Man license. So, first things first, the bottom, they got Beefcake War Machine.
That's hot.
How come he's just all gray?
They're white. Prototypes.
Oh, okay, they're not, okay.
Yeah. They also are going to do Extremis Iron Man. Probably one of the more popular suits.
Is that the one that comes from his skin?
Extremis?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
That one's cool.
The one that you're talking about is my favorite, Bleeding Edge. That's the one that comes from his skin.
So gross.
Looks so sleek.
Because he's Bleeding Edge, man. It's Bleeding Edge Tech.
That name works on so many levels.
Exactly. Like, whoever thought of that? Just hats off.
Give that person a race.
Yeah, hats off to you. And then for the final thing they announced was Scorponok from the original Transformers.
Is it Rhinox?
Oh, I was going to say. It doesn't sound like a DC thing.
Do you guys know who Fortmax is?
Nope.
No. The biggest Transformer toy ever. Stands about 2.5 feet tall.
Whoa!
Fortmax. So Fortmax is the one all the way on the left-hand side.
Okay.
Sentinel's Scorponok is the one in the middle.
Oh, he's just like just as big.
So he's going to be... So the thing with the Fortmax is, as you can tell, it looks like a brick.
Yep. Yeah, that's a very 90s toy.
I mean, 80s
toy, whatever.
So the Scorponok that they is going to go for the same... They made it to work in the same scale, but it's super poseable, super action figure. But at what point, like, does size just overtake action figure? Because I don't know what you're going to do with something that huge.
You're going to have him fight your Unicron.
I guess so.
Jeez.
Wait, how tall are these?
They're like 2.5 feet tall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dang. They just look small on the picture.
One day, if I ever get a Fortmax, you guys will be like super blown away by just how big this toy is.
Like this size of a small child.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
I kind of want to
have him fight a small child.
And then finally,
size play toy.
Yeah.
Finally, my other favorite company, Figma, were there, and they showed off a couple things. First announcement they showed off is they're going back to the Persona license. We're finally gonna get a U Narukami. It's only an announcement, but it's happening.
Okay.
The next thing they showed off is because a whole bunch of stuff is airing, they're gonna do Knights of Cydonia.
Ooh, I just finished watching that.
Was it good?
I liked it.
Okay.
I just stopped watching it.
So yeah, man. They're gonna do the Tsugumori. Tsugumori and the red one.
I didn't even know there was a red one.
There you go. The one, though, I don't know if you can pick it out in this picture, but boom, Yami Yugi and Dark Magician Girl.
What?
What girl?
Because why would you make Dark Magician?
Because it's Yugi.
No, but this is Japan.
I guess so.
This is Japan.
I guess so.
Yugi's the boy already.
You don't need two boys.
What's the... I want, like, the Chaos Dark Magician.
I didn't even know that existed.
Is he the red one?
He's, like, part red, and he looks all... He's, like, way slender. And he's banned in the game because he's too OP.
I think I know who you're talking about.
It's not just a color swap?
No. Oh. It's a color swap. It's more slender armor. Yeah. And he's, like, taller.
Oh.
For those of you who have Figma Link, you're going to get a horse.
Sick.
So.
Does Figma Link come with an Ocarina?
No, because he's based off of Skyward Sword.
Oh. Oh
yeah,
does he come with a harp?
The flying bird thingy.
No.
Oh my god.
It comes in no accessories. It comes with the Master Sword and Shield.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a bit of waste. For those of us watching Gun Gale Online or Sword Art Online 2, Sinon is already been done and made.
Whoa.
Psycho Sniper?
Yeah, so that's a blurry picture, but here's the better shot.
Oh my god!
And she looks pretty ballin'.
Is that a Figma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks wicked.
She looks just like the show.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pick that up. Looks cool.
Sniper rifle
and all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The surprise announcement for me from Figma, though, was they actually got the license to do the original Solid Snake.
Whoa, that's hot. Cool.
So the prototypes are only out, but I've been eyeing the Rebel Tech.
This is so common. So
Naked Snake from Peace Walker.
Yeah, Peace Walker was it? Oh, didn't wasn't he always? No, he wasn't. He wasn't Snake yet. Was he Snake?
Yeah, he was Naked.
Three. Snake Eater.
I can't remember.
Was he Naked Snake?
I think he was Naked Snake there, yeah.
Yeah, because he went in with nothing.
Yeah, he's Naked.
So he was naked.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I've been eyeing that one for a while, but I've always wanted, like, original OG MGS1 Solid Snake.
I hope they have, like, an 8-bit face, or, like, a shitty PS1 face cover.
You're a fool. Wow. Yeah.
So that's awesome!
The original Solid Snake will be making a Figma, and I'm hyped for that. but the Figma else that I was really excited for was Satsuki from Kill La Kill.
Oh, that's nice.
Whoa.
I still don't know how I'm going to display these, because they look like sex toys. Because
they are.
Because I realized that Matoy Ryuko comes in like in a couple weeks.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah.
So what you gonna do, Vince?
I don't know where I'm gonna display that. Maybe, like, right...
Because, like, if you hide them and someone finds them...
People will be like...
That's even worse.
Yeah. But if I have them straight on display, people will be like, what the...
That's still bad, but, like, if they think it's, like, this is a secret that you, like, check out when no one...
Should I just put it on that, my stand piano? Like, on just on the top?
It's like just a house display?
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, so there's that. But let's be honest, the highlight of the show, and I think this is my last announcement that I'm going to go through, Figma Lucina.
Oh, I was about to say Marth?
Marth?
And then I realized.
Well, Marth is in quotes. She has the Marth head on right now.
I like the mask.
But I'm pretty sure that she comes with another head that just has Lucina.
Man, I just want to play Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem is, like, one of the best games. I don't know why you guys are playing Fire Emblem for the 3DS yet.
I played some Fire Emblem. I think a GBA Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
And then I died. And then I stopped playing.
You gotta keep going.
So I think, I think I've played a total of, like, 10 minutes
play,
of Fire Emblem.
Play the 3DS one. It's probably the best 3DS game right now. Still.
Monster Hunter is pretty good.
It is pretty good, but it's not with Fire Emblem, trust me.
Alright.
But yeah. And I believe those are all sick. My highlights that I picked from San Diego Comic-Con and Wonderfest. It's like a bit to get through, but hey, there you go. And I think that's it for my picks of the week. Not that I had more to talk about, but...
Oh, that's it? That's all?
Yeah, that's all, man.
It's all.
I could have kept going, but, like, you know, Hot Toys announced the DeLorean.
Oh my god, really?
1/6 scale DeLorean.
Why?
Does it come with a Marty?
Yeah.
Damn.
And the Marty face is kind of like the shock, sort of confused face.
Does it come with the hook that hits the electric wire?
I don't know.
Does it come with garbage to put in the flux capacitor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sick.
You realize how big this car is, right? When how I big? Say 1/6 scale?
Small.
It's 1/6 the size of
Of a car! Oh, no! Because when you said that, I was like, oh, that's like a toy. It's like a person. And I was like, oh, wait, that was a car.
So when I say 1/6, then I say Marty McFly. Yeah, it's like a 12-inch doll.
Damn, that's a huge car. So
yeah, you know what's bigger? The Batman Tumbler.
The Lego one?
No.
Oh.
The 1/6 Batman Tumbler.
Oh, oh,
wow.
I can only imagine where you would put that.
Yeah, I've seen people, they just like, it is literally their centerpiece in their living room.
They must be.
Did they ever release that model size version of Ray, of Metal Gear Ray?
The model size?
Yeah, because remember how they had the big version Rex?
Yeah.
Weren't they going to do like a huge version
of Ray? The Ray isn't out yet.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. There's model kits of Ray, but the one you're talking about, no, that's not out
yet. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's been in production forever.
It's 3A. They generally are in production for forever.
Okay.
But yeah. So, yeah. There you go. Have at it. Cars and stuff. Yeah. I don't know. But you know, San Diego Comic-Con is always an exciting time to be a nerd, a geek.
Yeah. It's just like, it's also a very branded time.
Yeah.
Like every like Twitter like hashtag I see, it's like SDCC, hashtag Warner Brothers. I'm like, whoa, you just like advertise Warner Brothers for no money.
That's the beauty of Twitter.
Yeah.
Free advertisement. Okay, let's move on with the show.
Hello, listeners. Do you enjoy hearing Anthony talk about his digital dreams, Vince's plastic preferences, or my cardboard crack addiction? Well, we'd like to hear about all your pastimes too. Send us some letters at tniav.letters@gmail.com. After all, your letters are part of the coolest things in the world too.
So, I'm just going to continue talking, because,
do
hey,
it.
I'm talking.
How dare you.
Guys, this week, you know what I did?
Tell me.
I bought stuff.
Ooh. That's exciting.
And then I return stuff.
Oh, dang. That's exciting.
What?
So, okay, now this is just a small story. I bought something over on the internet with PayPal, right?
Okay.
I have a balance in my PayPal account of a couple hundred dollars. Oh, look at you. Right? And usually the way PayPal works is they charge your balance first, correct? And then if you run out of money, then they go to your funding source, whether it's your credit card or your bank account. When I bought this item, it's like a... Okay, I'll just tell you right now. It's metal build Levitain.
So it's expensive.
It's expensive, okay? It's like a... It's 17,000 yen.
Damn.
All the currency in my PayPal account is American.
Okay.
But when I went to go pay for it, for some reason it funded from my bank account instead.
Ooh.
And they had to do the exchange rate. So I ended up paying like an extra... like $20 because of our exchange rate plus the fees for conversion.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I was super pissed. Anyways, I couldn't get the problem solved, but I tweeted about this problem. And I didn't, like, tag anybody in it. PayPal found me on Twitter.
Yeah.
And tried to resolve my problem there.
Whoa.
And
damn!
Then they sent me a confirmation email and everything about my account and why this happened. And they're like, yeah, sometimes we have to do this because it's a random security spot check to make sure that it's you in case it's, like, blah, blah, blah. It's an end user agreement. They highlighted all the notes. From one tweet.
What the
These people heck? Found me.
Damn.
And it was at that point I'm like, I live in the future.
Your privacy is nothing.
I was like, oh my god. What just happened?
That's like part awesome and part scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least you got your money back.
Wait, did you? I didn't. I didn't get anything resolved.
What?
Yeah.
They just explained the situation?
They explained why it happened. So instead what I had to do is I just had to withdraw the funds to my bank account to cover like whatever was taken out, right? So I'm out, what, like, $15-$20, which kind of sucks.
Man, that's half a tank of gas.
Yeah, it's about right, yeah. $50, yeah.
Hey.
So, yeah.
That's nice of them.
I mean, yeah, the gesture's cool, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
And then I played more Destiny because I only played an hour last week. You know, guys, that Destiny game is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, right? Like,
I think I'm going to be buying that one.
I think it's pretty good.
You know, I might even upgrade to that limited edition.
You know, buy a PS4 for it?
You know, so that's the thing I've been debating. I have no doubt in my mind playing with friends will probably make that game exponentially more enjoyable.
Usually is.
However, I've been having tons of fun with randoms. Because the way that game is structured, like, I can find anybody at any time, or, like, the public events are my favorite things, where it's just random people all just grouped together to, like, that is my favorite part about Destiny.
There's, like, mini raids.
Yeah, and, like, that's just completely reliant on randoms. The only thing I'd want to play with friends for is if I really got into multiplayer. But getting back into Titanfall and getting back into playing the Destiny like PvP stuff, I think I'm done with FPS multiplayer, and I won't be buying Destiny for that reason.
But there'll be like exclusive gear that's better than your PvE gear.
Yeah, but it's only Crucible gear.
Yeah,
it's useless in the PvE.
Can you only use Crucible stuff in Crucible?
What do you mean?
Like, so when something is labeled as Crucible gear, can you only use it in PvP?
No. You can use it, but it's not as effective.
Yeah, it's probably geared towards
it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, so you'll have two sets of gear.
What you want to look for is Vanguard stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you're just going to be doing
PvP. Exactly.
Most likely.
So, yeah, that's my only thing with Destiny. Like, if... Like I said, guys, if we go to the casino and I win, then sure, I'll buy a PS4. But,
Other than that,
I think I'll be fine on my Xbox One. I mean, I've seen both versions running. They kind of look identical.
Yeah, I didn't see a difference.
Yeah, so there we go. But no, that was my week.
What?
I watched the race today. It was fun.
I stopped watching.
You're crazy.
Mercedes won.
They didn't win today.
But they won.
They came third and fourth.
It's still high enough for them to have a
Red Bull won. Ferrari beat them.
What?
That's right. Ferrari beat the Mercs.
What? They have lawnmowers.
This might be the best race of the season. Hungarian.
God damn it.
Every race where Mercedes doesn't win is the best race.
Why is every race I don't watch exciting? Like, when I do watch the race, it's like, wow, sick. Mercedes is like 10 seconds ahead. That's sick. But like every race I don't watch, yo, Mercedes like effed up. Look, all these underdogs won and like someone got shot in the face. I'm like, what?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like,
that was today's race, yeah.
You choose the wrong
race. Yeah, this sounds like the worst luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. But yeah, no, that's it. Yeah. For me, it's all about the next coming weeks. I have a whole bunch of stuff on the way that I bought from like a whole bunch of new
toys and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of expensive stuff are coming in, so
Ooh. You
guys get to see that in the next coming weeks.
Nice. Cool.
But yeah, that's it. Anthony, fill me in what you've been doing. I know you've been doing a lot of books.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of books. I'll start off with some movies / television. So I watched a Netflix special.
What?
Called OMG Top 50 Moments of WWE Wrestling.
Oh my god, you were... I already forgot that you were going to talk about this. Same. Oh my god, where's he going with this?
Yo, that's just my childhood condensed into an hour and a half.
Holy crap.
Oh my god, is it like the best moment? Oh yeah, 50
it's
best
top
moments.
Top 50 best moments. You got Shane McMahon jumping off the Titantron.
I remember that.
You got Jeff Hardy getting speared while hanging off the thing that holds the belts in the tables, ladders, and chair
vaguely
match.
Vaguely remember that.
Edge speared, Edge was on a 20-foot ladder, and he speared him off it. Like,
what are you talking about?
Like, there was, like, Kurt Angle came out. And he had a milk truck, just like when Stone Cold had the beer truck.
He had a milk truck.
Yeah, so it was like Stone Cold had the beer truck, right, in the 90s.
Wrestling's so stupid!
And then he sprayed down Vince with beer to show that, so that he doesn't care, he doesn't answer to his boss. And then Kurt Angle came out and sprayed Stone Cold with a milk truck.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, it was just like, just all the top moments you could think of, like, and if you've ever watched wrestling, you saw something that was, like, totally nuts. Like, it's in there. Yeah, it was good. It was good stuff.
You make it sound too good to be true.
The best moment was, like, it's not spoilers to say that the best moment in WWE history is the Mankind Undertaker Hell in a Cell match.
I was about to ask if that was there.
Yeah, that was number one. And that's obviously okay. Number one. There's no surprise there. If that wasn't number one, I'd be surprised.
That's where he got chokeslammed through the Hell in a Cell.
So, okay, so first... He got thrown off the Hell in the Cell through the announcer's table.
Dang.
Then they were going to pull him out, and then he's like, no, no, I'm good. Then he climbs up the Hell in the Cell again.
Yeah.
Then also, for some reason, there's a steel chair on top of the Hell in the Cell. I forget how that gets there. So then he gets chokeslammed on top of the chair through the Hell in the Cell down to the mat.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then that just looked brutal. And then he still wasn't done, because then he got body slammed onto thumbtacks.
That's what it was. Okay, I mixed it.
And his back was just full of thumbtacks.
I thought he got choke clamped through the Hell in the Cell, landed on the thumbtacks.
Oh, that would have been brutal. He would have been dead.
That's what I thought happened.
No, but like he got body slammed onto thumbtacks.
Yeah.
And that was the most... But like, oh, that's a sick, sick Netflix thing you should watch. If you like wrestling, or if you want to know why wrestling is extra stupid... You should watch this.
I don't even know.
Then I also saw Lucy.
Yeah, the Luke Besson.
Yeah, with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah.
So, the thing about this movie is that the advertising is very deceiving.
Okay.
It is not an action movie.
Oh.
It does not need to be an action movie. I think that the only way they thought this movie would sell is if they targeted it as an action movie. And, like, there are action scenes and there are action sequences.
Yeah.
But it is not the main focus of the movie. So, about Lucy, if you don't know, Scarlett Johansson, she's living in China. And she gets...
Oh, she's living in China?
Yeah, she's living in China. And she gets kidnapped, pretty much, by the Triad. They have this new drug. It's called, like, CPH4. I think it's an actual drug it's an actual, like, thing that pregnant mothers create.
Oh, okay.
For like fetuses, so they produce it in really small amounts, and when it hits the fetus, that's the start of them creating bones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've made a synthetic version of that, and what they've done is they kidnapped all these people, including Scarlett Johansson, cut open their stomachs, hid a bag of it inside their under their stomach, and then sew them up, and they have to go somewhere. And so Scarlett Johansson gets beaten while she's in captivity, and like while the drugs are in, and the drug breaks inside, the bag breaks inside her.
Oh, that's how she gets her...
Yeah, and that's how she gets her power.
Okay.
And what this thing does is it allows them, or allows Lucy or Scarlett to unlock more than 10% of her brain. Because like it's said that like humans only use 10% of their cranial capacity.
Correct.
Right. And so it goes through the steps of her getting like 20%, 30%, 40%. And like what the theorized powers, quote unquote, you'd get from being, from using your full brain. Right. And it's more of like a thought process on like what is holding back humanity in terms of being like this all knowing powerful race, mm-hmm. and it turns out it's humanity.
Surprise!
Yeah, like being a person and not just being a cold calculated machine is the thing that's holding us back. Like feelings,
damn.
And sentimental.
Listen, I could have told you.
Yeah, right.
If robots are efficient.
Yeah, and it's a really cool movie. It's like, but again, don't go in expecting like Avengers style. Like it's not an action movie.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, there are like, and eventually it becomes comical when people try and stand up to her, because like at 40% she gets control over other people.
What?
Yeah, and like at 60% she gets control over matter.
Oh God!
What?
Yeah, it's nuts. Like she becomes a god.
Okay.
Right, and if it goes up to 100%. Like I guess if those two powers for you were spoilers, I'm sorry, but like there's a lot more in the movie that it goes to, and it goes to like this crazy like kind of like makes you think kind of level.
Hmm.
It's a really interesting movie. I really really enjoyed it. And reviews that I've seen that are all bad, they're like, oh, this is a terrible action movie, but again, like it's not an action movie. So that was really good.
Okay.
So on the reading front on books, I finally finished Nowhere Men, the first trade. I mentioned this a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is about this company called World Corp. They're run by these four guys: David Ellis, Simon Grimshaw, Emerson Strange, and Thomas Walker. And like back in the like I think in the 70s or late 70s, early 80s, they make science popular. They make silence like a thing that everyday people want to get into. And like they coined the phrase, science is the new rock and roll.
It sure is.
Yeah. And so it's about what happens if progress in science trumped anything else. Like if it trumped safety, if it trumped privacy, and like what would happen? And like who suffers and who gains from these kinds of experimentation.
Right.
Right. And so like in the book they have they figured out teleportation. They figured out like gene splicing. They've made perfect clones of people, and the book likes to go between the present, where they're all old,
mm-hmm.
and like they're kind of like on their last legs, and when they were young and just starting up the company, and they like doing these little time jumps. It's really cool. A lot of it does get very sci-fi. Like people get infected with viruses that turn them into anything but human. Like one guy can shoot lasers from his neck.
His neck.
Yeah, it's weird. And people get all these weird powers and stuff, and just change them physically. Like one is just like this one girl just turns into a symbiote. Like she turns into the Venom symbiote, pretty much, right? And it doesn't go into all these interesting things. But the one cool thing about this comic is that within the comic there are pages that are like article excerpts mm-hmm. from magazines, like fake magazines within the comic world.
Yeah.
So you're like one, like a couple pages will be an interview with, say, Emerson Strange, and it'll be like a Times article, but it's the fake magazine within it, and so it kind of gives you this like this deeper immersion into the world.
Right.
But also, it has like the negative effect for me of like I see a block of text, and I'm like, I'm gonna take a break.
Oh.
Yeah. But overall, it's pretty good. I don't find it better than like Sex Criminals or Saga.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far it's pretty decent. Then I read some manga, so I have it with me here. It's Gundam: The Origin, Volume 1.
Yep.
So like, first off, these books are super nice. They're just hardcover, like really thick, glossy paper. And you guys, you and Blaven, you guys always talk about Gundam.
Yeah.
You love Gundam. And like, so I thought this was like the perfect place to start for me. And even you said I didn't realize that they rewrote it for to make sense with like future storylines.
Yep.
And that's really cool. So like, if you want to get into Gundam, these Gundam the Origin books, I feel, are like some of the perfect, like one of the perfect places to start off at.
Mm-hmm.
The books are kind of pricey. In the US they're $30, and in Canada they're $35.
Wow.
So they're kind of expensive. Amazon usually sells them for under like their free shipping price.
Yeah.
So you can get them for like $15 off or something.
Yeah.
But they're really nice. And man, you know who's a badass? Char's a badass.
Welcome to the club.
Well, you know who's annoying? Amuro's annoying.
Welcome to the club. every main Gundam pilot is like Amuro.
Really? Like, just like, I know what I'm doing, even though I only just did this for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of like the Gundam trope. That's why I pretty much hate every main character in Gundam.
Okay. Like, yeah, Amuro is not my favorite character. I think Char is my favorite character so far.
Yeah.
Because Char's just a badass. But then, like, I didn't realize, like, how in-depth they've thought out just how living in space is.
Yeah.
In Gundam. Like, just things, like, just small things, like, when they're walking around in, like, low gravity or zero gravity.
Yeah.
They have these handrails.
Oh, on the walls?
Yeah, on the walls, so you don't just lose it. Like, even, like, little stuff like that, like, how much depth there is in just to the space part of Gundam. Like, not even the robots, just the fact that you're living in space and you're flying through space.
Yeah.
Just, like, all these little intricacies and stuff that's really cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I really enjoyed this. Like, giant robots. I'm still waiting for it to get to, like, the heavy politics part, because this first book is just all action.
Yep.
But it's a really recommended read, like.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no clue about Gundam, like kind of like I did,
yeah,
it's a really great starting point. And then the last book I read was Monster. I think it's Viz Media that's bringing them out. It's a re-release of a manga. They come in 2-in-1s. They're still bigger volumes.
Right.
It's about Dr. Kenzo Tenma. He's a he's like a brain surgeon who has like he's like far and above any other brain surgeon they've seen in a while. He's moved to Germany. He's there with his new fiance, who's the director of the hospital's daughter, and he's pretty much got his life set.
Okay.
Where one time happens where he gets two patients, or not two patients at the same time, but two patients very close to each other. The first patient is just a farm worker, like I guess a peasant, quote unquote.
Cool.
And he got in a car accident and he had like a brain hemorrhage. So he was going to work on him. But just before the surgery, an opera singer comes in. And so because the hospital cares a lot about its publicity and stuff, they tell him to work on the opera singer instead of the villager. And the villager ends up dying. And then he gets into this kind of like moral quandary of like, are lives worth more than others? Like, are some lives worth more than others? And, like, and stuff like that. So, on his, a similar situation happens where a kid comes in from what they think is a burglary. And he has a bullet in his brain.
Okay.
And then, just before the surgery again, the mayor of the town comes in. And so, they're like, director's orders, you don't work on this kid, you work on the mayor. And so, he's like, no, I know what happened last time. Like, I killed this villager. I'm going to work on the kid. So he works on the kid, saves the kid. Kid dies. Or the mayor dies.
Oh.
Right? His whole career goes into a downward spiral. It turns out his wife was kind of like just like a gold digger. And like his life gets ruined.
Right.
But the worst thing that happens is that it turns out the kid he saved was a serial killer.
Wow.
Yeah, like the kid murdered his own parents and then told his sister to shoot him in the head.
Wow.
And like, and so he saved him, right? And so now he's unleashed this quote-unquote monster into the world, hence the name.
Oh.
And so he feels compelled to stop him, to figure out why he's doing this, why he killed his parents, and just to stop him from murdering everybody.
Yeah.
And it's, like, in these first two volumes, it's one of the best books I've ever read. Like, one of the best mangas I've ever read.
Okay.
Like, in terms of pacing, in terms of art, how they use... just even like panel setups, like they have this like great blend. Like they are able to not tell you things and purposely leave information out but still making you feel like super informed.
Yeah.
Right. They strike this really perfect balance, and like this book is amazing. Like, even if you're not a manga fan, like even if you don't like visual novels, I think like this is a great read.
Sounds good.
Yeah, there is an anime if you prefer to watch it on the television, but I believe it's like 74 episodes.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a long series. And I haven't watched it, so I don't know how true it follows to the manga.
Okay.
But
how old is this?
I had it on my phone, let me check. It's not too old. 1994 to 2001.
Whoa, it's long.
Yeah. And it came out in, that was its original run, and it came out in 18 volumes, so it'll be 9 of these big ones. And yeah, this is like Blaven says he loves it too, but this is fantastic. This is great. The writer Naoki Urasawa, he also did Pluto.
Oh,
yeah.
I was trying to remember that.
Right.
I like that one.
He also did Pluto, and he also did some other stuff that's pretty popular. I can't really remember what else he did. But yeah, this is like recommended read. This is like the best story in movies, like in any medium I've read all year.
Huh.
Fantastic.
Sounds good.
That's it.
Cool.
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh, that's it? Oh, you only like did everything? Man? Whatever, man.
Jeez, man. God. You only did everything in the world. Okay.
No.
Anything you want to add, TJ? Anything you want to highlight? Talk about? Mention?
No, not really. Can't think of anything.
Okay. That's cool. That's neat. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the end of the show. It's slightly longer than usual, thanks to me talking a lot about plastic and Anthony talking a lot about books. But there you have it.
Books are great.
I hope it was an enjoyable show this week.
Oh, that's what he also did. Sorry. He did 20th Century Boys as well.
Oh, he did that one.
Yeah, he also did 20th Century Boys.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't Blaven like that one?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, that's why he recommended it to you. Because, yeah, it's that dude.
This guy does everything. What the hell?
Yeah, that dude does everything that Blaven likes. Yeah. Pluto and... Yeah. All right, then. Cool. That's the end of the show. Thanks for listening. You know where to find us on the internet. Google.
Google. Google, yeah. Three Nerds in a Basement. Everything's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we're always the top hits there. That's, like, the best method. If you want to follow us individually, I'm at what's my Twitter handle? Vince Sanchez.
I thought it was VNC, but it wasn't.
No. Yeah. That's my Instagram.
Yeah, okay.
My Instagram is VNC, but my Twitter is at Vince Sanchez, all one word. Anthony, you are Killer I Can't Kill.
Nice. I gotta change that.
You say that every time?
Yeah, I never do.
It's been 4 years?
I never do.
I
don't know what to change it to.
Your name?
No, that's too long.
I'm gonna
that's even longer than what I currently have.
Oh, that's true.
Is it?
Oh my gosh, he's counting it out.
It's like 15? 10 or 15? Yeah, 15.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, no, it's the same. It's 10. It's the exact same.
Wait, I don't get it. What's the problem? What's the problem with your current name?
I think it's stupid.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Because I made it when I was like 13.
Every original online handle is stupid.
It should be like XX420 Smoke Dog Just Blaze.
Whoa. I'm gonna change mine to Type B3 AMG Hybrid.
What? Whoa. Are you like part Mercedes?
Yeah.
Okay.
<Whoa. laughs> There you have it. That's where you can find us on the internet. Next week. Something's gonna happen.
More things.
Things that involve space, badasses, and raccoons, and
oh, that's
trees.
Out. Oh, that's out. Oh, that's out.
Look forward to our review of Guardians of the Galaxy next week, where we will more than likely just be talking about that and only that.
Can Bradley Cooper be a good Rocket Raccoon?
Can Vin Diesel be a good tree?
I hope so. He just has to say one line in different inflections.
What if he says something else?
I'd lose it. If he starts singing Hooked on a Feeling.
That would be something.
Who's the Baywatch guy?
David Hasselhoff?
Have you seen the David Hasselhoff version of that song?
No.
Yeah, he has his own version of that song.
I bet it's amazing.
With an equally as amazing music video.
I bet it's amazing.
I highly recommend it.
That guy's a talented actor.
Sure. Okay. Whatever you say.
He did Baywatch, man. Come on.
He ran in slow motion with a buoy.
Didn't he play a female mom? What? Or am I thinking someone else? Oh, I'm thinking John Travolta.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I thought you were talking about Miss Doubtfire.
Robin Williams?
Yeah, Robin Williams.
No, no, I was thinking John Travolta.
Do you know his daughter's name's Zelda?
Yeah,
named. Was it after?
Yeah, after Princess Zelda.
Nice.
What a badass.
Did he play the game?
I bet she hates him for that.
Man.
Apparently she likes it in interviews, but you never know her true feelings.
Of course she does. Of course she does in interviews. I like it in interviews. All right, then we've rambled on long enough. Again, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait.